Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the Best Hang Podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Bierman. Welcome to the Best Hang Podcast. I'm Mike. We got Max. We got Shane. We're recording separate, but always in our hearts together. Fellas, how's it going? What's been going on? It's been a minute. Max, you've been traveling around. I saw Insta stories and posts of you enjoying Las Vegas and the Super Bowl weekend. So I want to hear all about that. Shane and I have been very busy. We're sort of in the thick of that, but I'm sure we got lots to talk about. Max, why don't you start since you're sort of gallivanting around the world and doing interesting things.
Yeah. So I went to Vegas for Super Bowl weekend. And it's funny, whenever you tell anybody you're going to Vegas for Super Bowl weekend, people's eyes light up and they go, you know, your net worth must be the $18 million. And that, you know, is Googleable. Not the case.
It's 25.
It's 25. our friends, Adam and our other friend Brent, they go every year. They've been going to the Super Bowl for 9 years or something like that. And it is their Christmas, basically. Like, they really, Brent loves football. And Birchall loves hanging out with Brent. and I think when they started, it was humble beginnings. You know, I don't think like Birchall's job would have necessarily got him there. But now Birchall's like a big wig at a tech company. And, so he has work to do down there, and Brent is sort of his plus one and gets to go to some of the parties together. And then the last few years I've sort of just joined as the third wheel, and, the three of us just shack up in one hotel room. We switch up like who gets to share the bed, and it's just a sleepover for like 5 days in a row. But there's also all these parties, because what a lot of people don't understand is that Super Bowl weekend is actually a convention basically for every sports and entertainment brand in America. When you think about like, what is the biggest thing in American culture, period? Football. What's the biggest weekend of the year? Super Bowl weekend. And so it being in Las Vegas actually kind of made sense, because it was like America at its glory. You know, it's like every single activation that a brand had in mind, like the Cheetos people, the Pepsi people, Uber, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They all are throwing events. In one night, I saw Post Malone play for the Uber party, played like a full hour and a half set. We went across the hallway. We're in the Fountain Blue Resort. Shout out to Fountain Blue. Great new resort in Vegas. Highly recommend it. We went to the Calvin Harris party, and he was doing something for FanDuel.
Calvin Harris was there?
Calvin Harris was there.
Is he Taylor Swift's ex, right?
And this, I mean, like, how many of her exes were in Vegas that weekend? Probably many,
right?
Like,
yeah,
think about that, right? And then we got in an Uber and we went down and saw Zach Bryan perform the Bud Light party. So every day there's like a million different things to do. And it's funny because I don't give one fuck about Vegas. I could care. I kind of hate Vegas, to be honest. Like, I think it's like a terrible place. I have no interest in gambling. I think casinos are so fucking lame and pathetic. But
there goes that sponsorship.
But
go ahead.
But I do love the Fountain Blue because it doesn't really remind me of a casino at all.
Where is it close to on the strip?
It's a little off. It's a little up the road. It's like not right in the thick of it. It's like a little, I don't know if it's
How's the sphere look in person? Is it impressive, that giant ball there on the strip?
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the sphere is that you can see it from anywhere. It's like really massive. Shane, are you familiar with the sphere is?
That's what U2 plays there, right?
Yeah, so it's like this thing.
Of course, everyone knows the sphere,
Okay, cool. But I went to the sphere not to see you too, because we had too many commitments in the evening that we had to get to. But Brent and I went to this documentary by Darren Aronofsky. Are you guys familiar with
that? Yeah, I heard about this.
One of the biggest directors in the world. I didn't know he had a doc.
Isn't it like different like locations in the world and stuff like that? Isn't it like, it's kind of like this?
Yeah, I want to see what it's called. Darren Aronofsky.
I've postcard seen clips.
Postcard from Earth. So basically, it's basically like Planet Earth, National Geographic kind of documentary. It's basically that. Like, there's some weird sci-fi element and some allegory about how we're destroying the planet, of course. But the stuff that's breathtaking is like this amazing footage of like elephants and lions, but also like people in Sri Lanka picking tea leaves and people building monuments and praying in different religious sites, like all of like just sort of the grandness of humanity. And it was so interesting because watching that documentary, I wouldn't watch a National Geographic documentary at home, not for me, but watching it on the screen that envelops you was so deeply emotional. I just start to cry during like random parts, just like the colors and the vibrancy and the different faces and the different animals and the plants, stuff that normally I don't think it would move me that much, but because of the grandness of the sphere and like how beautiful the cinematography was, it really blew me away. And it was funny because I was just like,
I need to know, did Brent cry?
I don't know if Brent cried, but he loved it. And it was expensive too. It was like $140 just
but
for like an afternoon.
You didn't actually cry. You just
felt
moved.
Tears.
Max is a movie crier. I remember I've been to a few movies with you and you get very emotional and you're very vocal.
What was the one that I was really sobbing at?
It was the Martin Luther King biopic. And you were a loud crier, which caught me off guard. It was the first time I've been in the theater with you and you cried.
You do like a higher pitched thing, right? Like one of those.
Yeah. Sometimes I want people to know that I'm crying too, to know that I'm really into it. Yeah, of course.
Well, yeah, Martin Luther King doc. I mean, you probably wanted a camera crew there.
But it was funny too, because anyway, just leaving the sphere, I was just kind of chuckling to myself, thinking like, you know, we just got out of this documentary that really highlights like the breadth of humanity and the beauty of humanity and like the spectrum of it all. And then it's like only to go right back into a casino, a place that dulls all of those senses in the most profound ways. You know, it's like we're going to back into a casino where you don't know what time of day it is. That is like literally the point of casinos, is that it's just like you can smoke your cigarettes and waste your money and fucking like you like walking through a casino, you don't know what time it is. Like any time of day. I was there having a coffee in the morning, you know, fucking it could be,
how do you know it's the morning? Yeah,
that's my point.
I remember one of the most jarring things when I first was in Vegas as like a young person, because here in Canada, for our international listeners, there's like so many, you can't walk around with like an open beer just like, you know, down the street if you leave a bar. There's so many regulations and rules, I feel like, here in Ontario. The thing that was shocking about Vegas is there was none. It was like, oh, I haven't finished my tall boy. It's like, who cares? Get in the cab. Nobody cares. Like there's no rules. So it's just like, you can do what you want. Like you said, people are still smoking indoors. You take your beer, you get in the cab, you get out of the cab, you take your beer into the next place. It just was like, there was no sort of, you took like a couple hours to shed that feeling of like being watched by a parent or something. And then you're like, oh shit, there, anything goes.
You want.
Yeah.
It's also celebrity central too. There's just like celebrities walking. I saw Jalen Rose like twice on two different occasions. Did not say hi. I saw AJ McClain from the Backstreet Boys at Post Malone.
You said he was one of the nicest people on earth.
Honestly, AJ was the fucking best. So I kind of got his attention because I was wearing this ridiculous horse jacket. And he says to me, "Yo, I love your jacket." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you. Thank you, AJ." And then basically I took it upon myself to ask him a million questions about Max Martin, because Max Martin is the famous Swedish producer who's responsible for all the Backstreet Boys hits, Britney Spears, The Weeknd, Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande, Katy Perry, etc. And I was like, "What's it like working with him?" And then we got
hold on. Do you sort of preface it with who you are in this country and being in a band? Like, are you just a guy talking to him, or does he have an idea of what you do?
I'm a musician, a Canadian band. We're actually playing at Budweiser stage this summer. You guys played Budweiser stage. Just kind of give a little bit of context.
Yep.
I don't think he's like particularly impressed by that, but he's like, "Oh, cool. Awesome." And I was asking what he's up to musically. He's going on tour with Joey Fatone, I think, from NSYNC. But he's also saying that Backstreet Boys
have They'll be playing the Budweiser parking lot. Go on.
Stop it. No, he said Backstreet Boys got like a lot of big plans coming up. But then I was like, "Hey, I got to know, like, tell me about Max Martin." And he said that Max, you know, is the genius that we all believe him to be, like, but took the time to listen to AJ's new record, which is like a solo record, and like tell him everything that's like working and not working, and gave him a bunch of good notes and suggestions. And AJ was like so touched that Max would like
just throw it in the garbage.
Thank you for that.
So he was really cool. So the first two nights we stayed at the Bellagio, and then the second two nights, because of some budgetary reasons, we stayed in New York.
I love it.
What are the budgetary reasons, though?
Well, the budgetary reasons is that it's just like, you know, it's
everything's virtuals. Jacked that weekend too.
Everything's like, jacked that week. So you get
it's like you get probably the comped hotels for Birch's work for like a couple nights, and then you guys are probably on your. There's a whole method here. But have you ever stayed at the Cosmopolitan? I did a bachelor weekend there at the Cosmo.
We did party there.
It was nice. I liked
it. Yeah, we stayed. We partied there on the Saturday for the Sports Illustrated party, and the Chainsmokers were playing, and Tiësto was playing. So it was like, I think that's where. Well, maybe it was the Wynn. I don't fucking know. I don't know.
Was it by the pool, the Marquee Club there?
Yeah. We went, I forget. But anyway, in the elevator in New York, I thought I saw Tyler Cameron. Like,
That's exciting. When you see him, you know you're at a big event when he's there.
But then I was like, is this poor man's Tyler Cameron? Because like, why would Tyler Cameron be singing in New York? And then it's like, I assumed he'd have like a supermodel girlfriend with him, and his girlfriend did not appear to be a supermodel. Very, very attractive. So then I was like, "Oh, is this Tyler Cameron?" And then I thought, I was like, "No, I think this is just a regular bro, just like an American bro. I don't think it was actually Tyler."
But you're staying there, and you know you're with Birchall, who's probably our richest friend, and you guys can't afford to stay at other.
Maybe
hotels.
That's true, but you think that some hotel would just like pony up to get Tyler Cameron in there? You know what I mean?
I guess.
Anyway, and then a lot of people assume that I go to the game. I didn't go to the game. I took the red eye
you
home.
You didn't go to the game?
No, I didn't go to the
game. Wow, I'm surprised you'd even admit that, because you think you'd want people to think you went to the game and keep that rumor going.
I know. Well, here's the question. Do I play it like, "Oh yeah, Super Bowl, big dog, you know, rolling through the finest hotels, going to the game"? Or do I just say what's the honest thing, which is like, you know, we got to go to a bunch of parties because we have friends that are running the parties. And Birchall had a room, and that's kind of the way we
ran. Last year.
But yeah, that was sort of like a luck and last minute ticket thing. I was hoping that somebody would throw a ticket into my lap, but that never happened.
Because you got some viral TikToks last year showing the behind the scenes of the Super Bowl.
That's right. I did.
You ran into Will Forte last year.
Yeah, I ran to Will Forte. Who else? I ran into Leon, JB Smoove from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Oh, wow. That was cool. I ran into him like late night in the casino.
Did I see on Instagram somewhere that Paul McCartney was at the game? Did he show up to the game?
Ooh,
I think
I
he might have been at a box or something. But Danica was telling me, because she follows the whole T-Swift thing, that they couldn't even get parking for like private jets. Like that's how many like bigwig, like there wasn't enough space for how many important people wanted to be in Vegas for the Super Bowl on like the tarmac where the private planes land.
Actually, Ash was even telling me about some behind the scenes stuff where it's like some celebrities were like offered a lot of money to like do something around the Super Bowl. But because all of the landing spots, like the private jet, like schedule was all completely booked up. People were like turning down like offers for hundreds of thousands of dollars because they just couldn't land their private plane. And yeah, fuck it. We're not going to go. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild. Yeah. Well, it got me thinking about like, I wonder how Paul got there. You know, does he just jump on someone else's plane? Paul, I don't think he has his own plane. I mean, he could afford it, but I don't know if he rolls that way. Anyway, I was just wondering the mechanics of how a big star like Paul McCartney is like, "Oh yeah, Vegas, I'll go." Like, how does he go? How does he show up? Is it like, I don't know. I want to know.
Yeah, you think there'd be just some sort of like hierarchy list that, you know, it's like a doorman, right? At the bar, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, we're at capacity, but if you show up, we'll figure it out kind of thing. I imagine that's going to be the case for Paul McCartney. I was wondering though, related to the Taylor thing, there's that report that came out that said that like Travis Kelce bought the suite at the Super Bowl so Taylor could watch, and it cost like $1.5 million or $2 million for that suite. And I was like, they're charging them for that suite? It's Taylor Swift. Like the amount of attention she's brought to the league is like, that price like doesn't even exist, right? Like that's, what's the word I'm looking for? It's priceless? Yeah, priceless.
Yeah. Invaluable.
Do you think he's considered common law with Taylor Swift? Yeah. In which case, it really doesn't matter. It's not that romantic, right?
She's got to be worth...
She's a billionaire.
50 times what he's worth. Yeah, exactly. Like he's a pro football player. I'm sure he makes, does anyone even know? Does he make like $12 million a year? I don't even know what he makes a year.
Probably makes a lot in endorsements and his podcast, you know, off of Taylor pretty much. But yeah, so you, this is a stupid question because I doubt AJ would be the highlight you'd mention if you saw Taylor before this, but did you see Taylor or?
No, we did not see Taylor. What was the closest thing we saw? At one point we're walking through a casino and this like Secret Service detail just like was like clearing everybody out of the way. And I got so excited. I was like, is Joe Biden here or something? It's fucking Emmitt Smith. Is Emmitt Smith Dallas Cowboys?
Dallas Cowboys, yeah.
90s running back.
For me, that's probably one of the five players in NFL history that I know the name. So that shows you that's a big deal. My mom might know who Emmitt Smith.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. One funny moment. We went to this party with a bunch of NFL players. It was like a sports agency party. And it was like Eli Manning was there and Trevor Lawrence, who's a quarterback, and a bunch of like big dogs were there. It was funny too, because they're all kind of like milling about at first. And then they realized that they could be in like the upper tier VIP section. So then eventually it was just like NFL cool guys and hot girls were over there. And then the rest of us plebes were in like the normal zone. We end up having this conversation. So Brent is a big Steelers fan, like huge Steelers fan. And this big dude, it was kind of cold and we were on a patio. So we're standing by this like heating lamp or whatever. This big dude comes by and he clearly looks a professional athlete. And we start chatting with him, just making play conversation. It turns out he played for the Chargers and then he's maybe playing somewhere else. And then Brent gets into it because Brent is like an NFL scout. He has that level of knowledge. He's like you in basketball, Mike. It's just like he literally does when he's like preparing for the draft. I'm not kidding. He's not like listening to podcasts about the draft. He's looking at source material. He's studying tape. He studies tape. Before he listens or reads anything, he does his own research. It's crazy. So anyway, we start talking to this guy. A guy, you know, he's a free agent with the Chargers, did this and that. Brent reveals that he's like, oh yeah, I'm a big Steelers guy, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the guy leaves the conversation and he's talking about how he's been a little bit injured. He was in Toronto getting some medical treatment, et cetera, et cetera. And then Brent looks him up after and he goes, oh my God, this guy, I know this fucking guy. This guy was on the Steelers and he was fucking terrible for us. And it was so funny to me because I think the guy clocked that Brent was a Steelers fan and then failed to mention that he played for the Steelers last year. He was I was in the Chargers. I played here. I played there. I went to Ohio State. He told us his whole biography. Like I knew every team he played for, where he's from, et cetera, but he never mentioned that. And I thought to myself, I was like, that's so fucking funny that even a professional athlete who, you know, who's a stud in high school, stud in university, makes the NFL, meets a random guy at a bar and who's like 5'8", who's just a little excited football fan and can't admit that he played for that he had a terrible season.
He had a down year off of that guy's team.
For random guy's favorite team. I was like, doesn't that say a lot about human nature right there? That like you just protect yourself in these social situations.
Because it's very relatable. I might omit that information too. You know what I mean? If I was the football player, like it's like, I just don't want to get in the conversation. I'm kind of embarrassed of that season, you know?
Yeah, so fucking funny. It's like, oh, you've played in Dallas? And then I'm from Dallas. I go to lots of shows. I'm like, am I going to mention the small venue we played at in Dallas? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to say I never played in Dallas before.
Yeah, totally.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So wait, okay, I backed it back to the Super Bowl ticket. So like you said, Birch and Brent have been doing this for almost a decade.
They
back
buy. When they just, they're into it, yeah.
That's what they do. They like you said, before Birchall had a myriad of connections, they would spend money on these Super Bowl tickets. I remember like in the-
And they still spend money on the tickets now. Like Birchall doesn't get these free. Like he's down there for other work stuff. I think they spent $1,000 each or something like that. They got like face value tickets, but they're,
That bad. I feel like 1 year they did like $5,000 a ticket or something. I feel like 1 year was crazy, but I could be misremembering. So my question though for you is you mentioned you were kind of like, oh, maybe one will pop up like it did last year. Was it in Phoenix? I can't remember where that game was last
Phoenix,
year.
Yeah.
And then you caught the red eye home. How long, like, do you just book a last second flight once you don't get the ticket or did you book the flight?
No, I always had the red eye. I always had the red eye. And I could have gone to the game too. Like the game started at 3:30, ended by 7. My flight was 11:30.
Right. So, Vegas, 3 hours back. Yeah.
You mean you could have gone if you had a ticket?
Yeah, I've had a ticket.
And then
yeah,
still caught the flight. I thought maybe you're sitting around waiting to book a last minute flight if it didn't happen.
But yeah, no, I mean, it was a great time. But again, you know, it really reinforced, not to be a broken record here, but it really reinforced that it's like, you only want to do stuff with your friends. Like if I'd been like offered to go to the Super Bowl, but with people I didn't know or care to spend time with, I'm like, whatever. I really don't give a shit. And it was even, tell me if you agree with this. I feel like once you've had a couple like amazing experiences, and don't get me wrong, like sitting courtside at Raptors game is fucking awesome. It'll always be awesome. Mm-hmm. But like, if you were to be like, would you rather sit courtside with someone who you're lukewarm on, or would you rather sit in like the 300s with like your two best friends? I think I'd choose the 300s.
Oh,
easily.
Yeah, 100%. Because it can feel like work. Yeah, because, you know, you're sitting courtside maybe beside some big wig that you're not comfortable with and you have to make small talk the whole time. And that can feel like work, especially for someone like me.
No, totally. That's exactly it. It was funny. I was listening to this Larry David interview on Conan. Did you guys listen to that one yet?
No, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. But basically, Larry's new routine is like, if he gets invited to a dinner party, he wants to know who else is going to be there. He's like, well, who else is going? And he's like, dinner parties with comedians or comedy writers, always good. But have you ever found yourself like next to a guy who does like insurance? He's like an insurance salesman. It's fucking terrible. I'm like, yeah. So
There's a whole episode of Curb where it basically the events get triggered because it's like, oh, Jeff's having a dinner party. And it's like, well, I didn't like, Larry goes, who's going to be there? And he asks, and the wife's like, who gives a fuck who's going to be there? We're inviting you to the dinner party or whatever. They don't tell him. And then when the Dave Osborne character comes up, he's like, are you going to be at the dinner party? He's like, I didn't get an invite. And it's like, there's like, that's why you tell him who's gonna be at the fucking dinner, you know? And it becomes a whole very Curb Your Enthusiasm moment. Speaking of Raptors games, I went to see Victor Wembanyama.
Oh yeah.
Wemby in person.
Raptors got clocked.
They got destroyed. They did. But I was really there to see the number one overall pick, the French phenom, 7'4", handles like a point guard, shoots like Dirk Nowitzki. And obviously our good friend and my relative, Greg Vierman, my brother, he was like, yeah, if you want, I can sort you out with like the friends and family. Come watch the warmups, like courtside. So
love that.
I was like, well, fuck yeah. I'd love to see Wemby up close. So we hung out. I went with my friend Jimmy. Shout outs to Jimmy, because Jimmy and I go to like a few games during the year. And Jimmy always like, it's kind of nice because like Jimmy like likes to sit close, and he's like, you know, he's a big fan. And he, so when it's like him. He's like, let's go. I'll grab the seats. He just grabs the great seats. And I was like, all right, what do I owe you? And he's like, don't worry about it. And so I was like, all right. So I was like, Greg, you got to sort me out. Cause now it's my turn to bring Jimmy in. You know, I want to give something unique going on. Can you sort me out for Wemby? We've targeted this game. He's like, yeah. He's like, the seats aren't great. He's like, but I can get you in to hang out and watch that experience that nobody gets. I'm like, all right, sweet. Let's do that. I'm like, Jimmy, do you want to do that? He's like, yeah. So we go, we get there at like 4:45. Greg's like, get there early. Cause rookies warm up early in the sort of warm up schedule. And it was just, there was a buzz in the building. Like all these people we know that are like sort of Raptors adjacent or work for the team. People like Eric Smith, you know, he brought his son. He was, everyone was early. Kayla Gray brought her son. So it's like, everybody wanted to see Wemby working out. They brought in some, like, I don't know if it was like a school of people that got to sit sort of in like the, like row 12 to watch the warmups. And there was just a real buzz when he came out, and it was awesome. And I literally just, I don't know if you saw my Insta stories, Max. I know, Shane, you did, because you gave me a double tap. But like, I was literally right there just watching him do these crazy ball drills, dropping threes like it was nothing. Wow. And it was awesome. It was a great hang. But this also ties into what you were saying about going to a game and being with friends and all that stuff. Because so Jimmy and I go to this game. Greg ends up hanging out with us, chilling. Jeff Rocky also does open gym. He's hanging out. Blake Murphy comes over, gives it a pound. And we're chilling. And then we watch the game. Raptors get destroyed. But our great friend, amazing director, Chris Wong, is sitting courtside, feet on the fucking floor. He's like, yo, I'm going to be at the game, blah, blah, blah. Let's hang out, whatever. He's like, let's go for a beer. Now, here's the thing. We had been shooting. Obviously, we talked in the last episode about shooting bulges. Well, our last day of shooting, we started at 3:30 in the afternoon at Scadding Court in Toronto and we went. Like, I walked out of that place at, I think, at 4:45 in the morning, because it's 12-hour shoots, like 3:30 to 3:30. Wow. But the rec center doesn't close till 4 in the afternoon. So we couldn't even start shooting. So we're shooting these basketball scenes, these locker room scenes. We're on the roof, all this stuff. But it goes to late at night. I crash at my brother's. I get 3 hours of sleep and then go back into the office. Then I go to this game. So in 48 hours, I've really only slept like 3 hours. But Siwong's at the game. My brother's like, I could go for a drink after the game. I'm like, Jimmy, do you want to pop over to Real Sports? Everything? Great. We walk in. Who's there? Also, the man who had been on set with me for 12 hours, you know, the previous night, Mark Myers, is doing stuff with shooting Randy's show. So now we kind of got this like mini Much Music reunion going on. My brother's like, maybe I'll leave the car downtown. And we start having some drinks. It ended up being the funnest fucking random night, where it was just like all those things you're describing, Max, where it's like, I was kind of just going to see Wemby. I kind of felt like I was in a dream because I'd slept 3 hours and 48 hours, three hours out of the course of 2 days, like 48 hours. So, and I'm crushing beers. My brother's like, you want to do a shot? And I'm like, at this point, my brain's already scrambled. Let's go for it. So it was like the funnest time, just with like old friends, you know. It was a laugh, but it was the best. And Wemby is goddamn impressive. And he had like one of the best games of his career against the Raptors. Scotty, unfortunately, had one of his worst, maybe, yeah. And he left the bench early, which caused a big controversy in Toronto. But alas, it was a great time. But that was sort of my insane sort of time. I don't know, Shane, how did you feel after,
Mike,
that 12 hours?
Just
shoot?
Before what? I asked Shane, yeah. I'm like, if all those things hadn't come together, do you think you would have done the shot if someone had offered it to you?
I think we know the answer, Max. Greg was the one that offered it, and I'm not going to turn down my brother. He clearly was trying to kick his shit into high gear.
Only because your brother. Oh, yeah.
It was because of my brother. You know what I mean? And, you know, I don't want to let anybody down. You know, if I had been with some bigwig that had brought me courtside, I would have done whatever they wanted to do. I go with the flow. That's why I'm a decent hang. But Shaney, coming off that sort of 12-hour shoot that we walked off set at like 4:45 in the morning, where was your brain the next day? Because that was really our last sort of shoot day, and it was a fucking doozy.
Yeah, we missed one shot, so I was a little upset because, you know, I wanted to convince the DP to let us shoot this one shot, but Mark said he would get thrown off the building if he even broached the subject. So that was on my mind the whole time, but I was absolutely exhausted. You could have paid me $1,000 to sit courtside and I would have turned it down. Yeah. Million shots in the world. Nothing could have gotten me to leave my house that day. I was just so ruined. Physically, and you know, it was my last day of the keto, so I broke keto.
Oh,
right, and that does strange and unusual things to your body and your mind and your
What did you eat?
Your ass. That has to be the title of this episode. But I ate like a chicken parmesan.
Ooh, interesting.
Andes and, you know, all stuff you're probably like, you know, bread and Kit Kats and a bunch of shit you're not supposed to.
Yeah,
you're supposed to ease out of keto, right?
Uh huh. Well, I can tell.
You were hitting the crap.
I know. But Alex, and she might not appreciate this story on the podcast, but she did shit.
Let's tell it anyway. Yeah.
Because Alex broke keto in the middle of shooting. She thought, oh, we're at this.
Why was she doing keto? She wasn't on screen, was she? Or is she on screen?
She was on screen, but she was trying to support me. You know, like when Alex was pregnant, she couldn't drink. So I didn't drink for nine months. We're kind of like a sweetheart couple that way. And how we she also likes any opportunity to like, Alex thinks she always has abs. So anything that can like get her abs better, she really likes. And she's a great cook. So she made all the keto meals and made it that possible. But the point is, we went out for a lunch, we went to like a Korean noodle place, and I didn't eat any of the noodles, but Alex thought, it's only one bowl of noodles. What can happen? She ate the full bowl, and then she had to go home all of a sudden. And while she was driving, she shit her pants. What's funny is, Jonathan Poplos has my home computer right now. So I told myself, don't say anything out of line, Shane, on this podcast, because I do not have editing capabilities to edit this pod. So whatever I say has to go.
It has to go in.
But I will, you know, tell Alex, I guess, that I told this story. And
Shane, congratulations, though. I mean, obviously the whole team was working on the show, but Shane, you're the centerpiece of it. Yeah, what did you do in the aftermath? So you ate a bunch of food, and then did you sleep for a while? Did you have to say hi to your children? How did that work?
Said hi to the kids, slept, felt terribly hungover. It's this crazy feeling when you're that tired and you're expending so much mental energy, and you have so many, like, I don't know, so much hope wrapped up in a thing, like it exhausts your brain. And when you get that release, your brain says, okay, now you can feel terrible because you don't have to be like at your best. It really felt like I got hit by a truck after that shoot. And I'm still kind of recovering from it.
I want to see it. Send me some stuff, man.
Well, yeah, the Sunday, the plan is Mike and I are going to go over to Popolis's house because he's editing on my family computer, because I learned that Popolis does not have a computer. I'm like, buy a fucking computer.
That is amazing.
But yeah, like as soon as, stuff's not fully together yet. It's got to be tightened, Maxi. But yeah, we want to get you and Ash looking at stuff ASAP. Are you nervous, Max? Are you like, what did these guys cook up? Or are you
it's going to be excited. Great. I know it's going to be fucking great. No, I'm pumped. I'm not worried about it at all.
Yeah, sweet. All rough cuts are nightmares, though. Anyone who's ever seen a rough cut knows that. So just brace yourself.
Yeah. I think it was Lou, one of our great producers, he was saying that it's never as good as the dailies and never as bad as the first cut. Because you always think everything looks awesome in the monitor on set. You know what I mean? So you're like, oh, baby. And then you get the first cut and you're always like, oh, geez. You know, all that business. But we've been doing this long enough that you don't get too stressed. You know, it's going to get there.
A roller coaster. I feel that way sometimes about songs. Like sometimes like a voice note just like on my iPhone. I'm like, this is the greatest. Yeah. This is going to be the greatest song of all time. And then you record it for real, and you get a mix back. You're like, this is 1,000 times worse than my shitty voice note. And then you know.
Anytime you send me a demo, I'm always on cloud nine because Max makes music for the show. So I'm like, this is the best. And then you're like, I fine tuned it a little bit for you, Shaney boy. You send it to me. I'm like, what is this shit? Like, what's
it's worse. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Well, demoitis is a very real thing. Explain that, Max, to our listeners.
Well, demoitis is basically this idea that you get really attached to like the first or an early version. So, and you can't see it getting any better in a way. And then sometimes you'll make improvements to it that are objectively better to the common person, but you're still kind of obsessed with that first thing you did because it's lived in your mind for so long.
It's like no new friends, kind of like you have this friend, he's a shithead, but you know him, so you think he's the best. And then a new guy comes in, you're like, this guy sucks, even if the new guy's objectively way better.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good metaphor.
Yeah,
no, that's a great metaphor.
No, it's perfect metaphor. Yeah, I'm excited though to keep working on those tunes with you because I think there's some fun stuff in the show. I'm pumped.
Yeah. I wonder when we can actually say when it comes out soon, I would think. We just shot a teaser for it too. So there's a teaser promo that Mark Myers directed, and like, you know, he literally shot this promo in 15 seconds and it turned out pretty good, all things considered.
Send it to me. I want to see it.
That's awesome. I'll send it to you right now.
Speaking of cinema, I saw Anatomy of a Fall last night. Have you guys seen this movie yet?
Not yet, but people love it. That's the one where Ash sent us the clip of the girl basically destroying that guy, right? In some monologue.
Yeah.
Yes. I've been meaning to watch it because that clip was very compelling.
Yeah, you should watch it. Yeah, well, it's only because it's Oscars season. Is it Oscars this weekend?
No, I don't think so. But I never know anything anymore.
Might
man.
Be.
Like, I was surprised. Like,
and I think that's I was our Oscar around. Segment for the podcast.
I remember I was walking around like the other day, like some Sunday, and someone's like, oh, the Grammys are tonight. And I was like, what? Which was pretty insane because I feel like there was something else happening that night. I don't know what it would have been. Some other big TV event or.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Grammys aren't respected like the Oscars. Like, once just, Vanilla Ice won.
I don't think there's any like monoculture anymore. Like, even the Oscars are going to come and go, and they're not what they once were. Like, it's just like there's nothing we all get together and do anymore. Maybe the Super Bowl, actually.
It was Grammys and Curb thing. Were the same night. That was. but to your point, Mike, you know what fucking blew me away? Kanye West put out an album last week, and Kanye is like my favorite artist, right? And it is funny. I couldn't tweet that. I couldn't tweet this. Innocuous take, which is, isn't it interesting that the monoculture doesn't exist to the degree that I didn't even know my favorite artist is putting on a record. And if I included Kanye West, people would be probably mad at me or something. But isn't that interesting that
I didn't know until my brother brought it up to someone. He's like, oh, have you heard the new Kanye? Because my brother had listened to it, so he was he somehow heard.
There's moments of greatness. There's some stuff that's not that great, but I don't know. It's
but they pulled it. They pulled it. I saw from Apple. I just saw that news from yesterday. I think he used a bunch of samples that weren't cleared. Like Gene Simmons was like, I didn't give him permission. You know, he's.
I think
all
it was even
stuff.
More technical than that. It was like really? He used like a service to upload the record, and the service like didn't give permission or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but there was also a Donna Summer sample that he didn't have. Anyway, I it seems like he didn't. Anyway, it's pulled from Apple. Might still be on Spotify.
So wait, Anatomy of a Fall is good.
Anatomy of the Fall is really good. There's a lot of good movies right now that we should
watch.
What's
the best movie? What's your favorite movie of the year so far?
Ooh, let me look at the Oscar.
Actually, hold on a second. Speaking of movies, I asked you, Max, to watch that documentary about We Are the World, The Greatest Night in Music.
Oh, fuck. I didn't watch it. I should.
You should watch it because I would love to discuss
it. I'll watch it when I exercise next. Yeah,
I will say that this movie on Netflix, it randomly came up one night. I didn't even know it was being made, nothing like this. And I watched the trailer because they just popped up in my suggestions. I was like, shit, that looks good. So I made time for it the next night. And then turned out, I basically put in the little pod group. I was like, this thing's, a banger, whatever. And then Shane was like, I'm actually watching it like same time, like great minds. So we happened to both be simultaneously watching it. We got to like break it down, but I ended up going out with the guys like whatever later that week. And I've basically been doing that thing that I did with the Eagles documentary a decade ago where I'm like telling everybody they have to watch it. Cause I just want people to talk about it with, there's so many great moments with these massive, massive stars from like 1984. You know, it's like, like Michael Jackson and, Lionel Richie, Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen. It's just so fascinating to see these people. And this is what I want to talk about specifically with you, Max, because it's so interesting about the dynamics of the room and how they produce this thing and the tension you get of like Quincy Jones trying to put this thing together with these huge egos, and they shoot it the night of the American Music Awards just because that's when everyone's gonna be in LA. It's like simultaneously ragtag and hilarious, but also heartwarming the way it all comes together. And even the way the song is written, like Stevie Wonder was supposed to be part of it, but Stevie doesn't really get back to people. So then just Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson write it together. And anyway, I won't get too much into it. You want to watch it, and then we got to talk about it because I got thoughts about Lionel Richie. I got thoughts about Michael Jackson. I got thoughts about Bob Dylan. I got thoughts about Bruce Springsteen. It's awesome. Steve Perry might have the best voice of anybody in that room.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm okay. You've sold it. I'm going to watch it.
All right.
Though I will say there's something about, are there like too many documentaries now?
It's of just course.
Like too, it's to make. Too easy to make a fucking documentary that's like, oh, it's a really cool story. It's like, can we just make some good old fashioned movies or something? It's just like every fucking thing on Netflix is like a new fucking
documentary.
Are you suggesting
there's more documentaries than movies?
I just think there's too many documentaries. I'm just like, okay,
I think
cool.
there is though, Shane. I think there's a good question, Shane, because something popped up the other day. It's like Real Life Gone Girl. It was some trailer came up on Netflix and it's like.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, I didn't watch it. You saw the trailer or did you watch it? Did you watch the actual thing?
Yeah, I know all about those stories. All I listen to are crime stuff. So.
And they work. Like then they have an audience. But for me, when I saw the trailer, I kind of had the thing that Max said. I had an aversion to him. Like, oh, how many of these are there? And it's a great trailer. It's hooky. But I'm like, I'm not investing three episodes. I don't know what it was, three part thing. I'm just like, I'd rather just quickly look at Wikipedia and see what happens.
It's not done well either. They tried to make it a series. I hate when they try to make a really great story into a series. Just make it into a wicked 90-minute documentary. And you have to know what you're making when you go out. So, they stretched it out and it wasn't as good. The podcast about that story much better.
I think it's just fucking easy to make a good documentary. I think documentary making is easy. That's my hot take.
It's very tough. It's like the toughest thing you could ever do.
A documentary is harder than a movie. No, it isn't. You're nuts.
To make a good documentary,
a good documentary, it's so fucking easy to make a good documentary. It's so easy.
I think it's the rarest thing in the world, a good documentary. It's like the rarest thing. Name five good docs.
There's lots of good docs out there. Why do they all keep getting greenlit to go on fucking Netflix and every other fucking streaming
service? Well, to Max's point, it's like it feels like every month there's something like Tiger King, like a docuseries, like that one about Gone Girl, like the one about We Are the World.
I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying a good doc is the rarest thing. And case in point, there's so many, but there's so few are good. And that's why we're complaining. If they're all great, we wouldn't complain, right? We're saying there's too much shitty, mediocre docs.
No, I just think Tiger King
blew up.
They're all good. But they're not. It's like, I don't give a shit. It's hard. Like, make me a movie.
You didn't care about the Bulls documentary about Jordan that came out.
That was good.
That was appointment viewing, right? Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. Were you into Tiger King or no?
Tiger King was fine during the pandemic. Yeah.
Fine. It was the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
It was good. It was good. And then after that, no more. I don't want to see any more true crime docs. Like, fuck it all. You know what I mean?
That Making a Murderer, though, tell me you weren't on the edge of your seat for that shit.
I don't know if I watched that.
Which one was that?
It came out like 8 years ago, Making a Murderer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not with Saeed. No.
It was the one after, right?
I did like
Serial. It was the one after. It was the one with the guy. I know exactly what you're talking about. The
Jinx, but I guess my point is that it's just like, it's so fucking easy to be like, okay, maybe I'm just like too inside baseball here, but like if I'm like listening to pitches or something like that, right? For like, what do we want to put on our streaming? And then like some original thought comes their way. Like, hey, we're going to make a show called Bulges about this fucking weird world of like, it's like Hooters, but for girls, it's like different. It's going to be funny. There's going to be all this weird route. And like people go, huh? Okay, cool. We'll give it a go. Right. And then,
it was a little more enthusiastic than that. But
No. But you know what I'm saying? It's like an original thought.
I know what you mean.
Is harder to wrap your head around. Where it's like, hey, I got this doc idea. Where it's like someone got murdered on a streetcar, and it turns out that they were blah blah blah, whatever the fuck. And then you're like, in, done. I can see it already. It's a real story. I can read the article. Blah blah blah. I'm like, easy.
I do think there is a bit of a correlation. Like, remember when everyone started making reality TV after Survivor? Because it was cheap to make relative to like narrative, and people watch that shit. People love it. Yeah. So to the point, I get the burnout for sure, Max, but also like there's people that still, you know, there's certain shows that people consider like reality that are elevated above. I don't watch like Vanderpump, but people love that thing. Bachelor.
Vanderpump had some shitty seasons, man. And the last season of Vanderpump was transcendent. And that's what got people back.
Right.
Vanderpump was going to be canceled. Because the season before, the season that blew up, was the worst rated Vanderpump ever. All the storylines were exhausted. And then this massive scandal just by luck happened, and it blew that show back up. And now it's having a season that's a little less juicy now because they've already exhausted that one storyline. So,
but that's the thing. You're like it feels like you're a connoisseur. Like you would be able to tell the difference between what the Kardashians do and what the Vanderpump Rules do and what, you know, what something like The Bachelor does and all those things.
Max was obsessed with The Bachelor. And now
I was.
Right. We haven't talked about The Bachelor in.
Does it suck? I just, because I'm not.
Who even knows if it exists anymore, right? They tried having an older couple. No one talks about The Bachelor. It used to be like prime, like zeitgeisty thing where everyone was on. Even like you would hear about it all the time, Mike, but
100%.
Never hear about anyone talking about The Bachelor.
I don't. You know what I threw on last night? I actually threw it on the night before just to watch the first like 20 minutes. And then I was like, I got to go to bed. I get so tired.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yep, I'm finding my new reality show. This kind of correlates, but I started watching The Truman Show because I started just wanting to feel like I want to watch something from a long time ago. I was actually strolling through Paramount. I was like, am I going to cancel my Paramount? And I literally started looking to see what they had to offer. And I was like, shit, I'm like, I haven't sat through The Truman Show in a long time. I'm just going to watch like the first 20 to see how they sort of set up the reality. Cause I couldn't remember the director, Peter, where I was like, how do they tell this story in a way that feels organic and cohesive and that you buy that this guy's whole life since birth has been in this weird bubble and on television. And it's awesome. It's such an awesome movie.
Original idea and
sort of like really predicts where the next, because that movie came out like 99 or something to 98, predicted where we are as viewers and what we want to watch and what we want to see. And even the Truman characters, he starts to spin out, and the Ed Harris character, as he wants to sort of exploit that for viewership. And I know that there's been versions of this, you know, we're mad as hell, we're not going to take it anymore. Sort of if it bleeds, it leads with the news and all that shit. But there was something so like the idea that it's artificial to everybody in that bubble, but to Truman, it's real. And to the people at home, there's something so compelling about watching it. I just felt like I was like, oh man, this movie was a banger and ahead of its time and just so artfully done. And Jim Carrey's at the sort of fucking peak of his powers where he's mm-hmm. being dramatic, but also funny. And like, anyway, cool movie.
Do you prefer that or Ed TV?
It's a great question, because when Max said it was an original idea, I was going to make an Ed TV joke, which I thought was gonna, Matthew McConaughey. It's basically, this is like, there's this kind of weird phenomenon where it was like, two movies would come out about the same subject. I don't know why this happens, but it was like, we always, me and Shane always laugh at Volcano and Dante's Peak, Armageddon and Deep Impact, the Truman Show and Ed TV, where they basically follow the Matthew McConaughey character and his life was 24 hours broadcast. And there's like, we could find like 10 other examples of like where basically the same premise competed. Two Capote movies came out, I think, in the same year.
Be Blood and No Country for Old Men. Obviously, that's a different example, but those felt like almost very similar movies. Like you had to pick one or the other, what you're into.
Totally. But anyway, long story long, Truman Show. I recommend it for anybody that wants to go back and see an antiquated piece of art.
They did a reality show based on Truman Show too, called Joe Schmo, where he really won.
Kristen Wiig was in that in the season one before she was ever on SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys. So are we banning reality TV and documentaries?
I don't know how we could. It's too profitable and too cheap to make.
I know. That's another thing. It's too fucking cheap to
make.
Like,
I bet you more people watch Vanderpump Rules than watched The Curse, which people consider great art. 100%.
And we're worse off for it. We're worse off as a society.
Have you finished The Curse, Mike?
No, I you guys can talk about it. If we want to do it, let's do it. Because I don't know when we're going to find the 6 hours to do it.
Did you watch it, Shane?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about next week, because it'll be fun.
Ooh, good tease.
Okay, I want to leave us with two notes. One, I think we should ban reality TV in North America. That's it.
I like it. Bold.
Yeah. Number two, I think we should argue more on the pod. I like getting into it a little bit.
You want conflict.
I could see you trying to have a fake argument with me, Max. I was like, I know he's liking this.
I know. So let's do that. Next week, let's do more pardon the interruption style. Let's go at it.
Yeah, we need more hot takes.
Yeah, yes.
More hot takes. That was a good hot take you came in with.
Yeah.
And you stuck to your guns, even though I like outwitted you or whatever, but you
All right. That's it. That's all. That's our episode. Thanks so much to Manager Ash. Thank you to Nathan Nash. And I love how those two rhyme, because it's easy to say it at the end of the podcast. Guys, this is a great hang. Maybe the best.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. acast.com.